Hi, this is Karin Anderson, the host of Life Now. Welcome to Life Now, the radio show devoted to living well in this life rather than preparing for the next. Our hope is to probe and extract where boldness rears its promising head and to uplift those moments where truth, compassion, and justice make their way into our living and loving. A challenging feat, we know. But certainly one worth aspiring to. Okay, so here's the deal. I came home yesterday after listening to NPR about even more companies on the brink, and I had just checked my email at church and saw that a parishioner had recently been laid off. When I got home, I opened my mail and took out the envelope from Fidelity, the keeper of my 401k. And, tank, 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 help me, Jesus, is all I could think to say. On the church front, you see, we're trying to address issues relating to our community around this financial crisis by holding forums and offering job retraining opportunities and emergency funds for those caught off guard at the very minimum. But of late, I gotta admit, my head is spinning and I felt, well, you know, depressed. Then I ran into Allison Todd Howe. Allison's a 55-year-old graphic artist who lost her job, who is ever insightful, upbeat, and currently anxiety-free about being jobless. The more I talk to Allison, the more I realize she's taken on this joblessness with a fascinating spirit and a calm that both helped ground me and gave me hope. So I thought I'd talk to Allison about this new Zen-like spirit she has towards life and how she is holding up with her endeavor as this week we look into creative poverty. Miss Allison, you are economically challenged right now. What does that mean to you?
It means that I don't have a job, and I don't have any prospects, and I don't have any savings, and a 401k is not really something I ever had on my horizon anyway.
So we're going to talk today about creative poverty, right?
Right.
Yeah. Tell me what that means to you.
Basically, it's making the most out of the least that I have, which is not too difficult. I have a pretty good resume for coming to this condition because I've been here before. Mm-hmm. Way back in the day, I used to drink too much, and that caused certain consequences in my life.
You think?
One of them being homelessness at various times. I lived in used car lots and, you know, sundry places like that, so... Uh-huh. I'm pretty inventive and creative when it comes to making the most out of the least. Outside of stealing, which is something I used to incorporate in my survival techniques back in the day, today I try to do it more honestly.
Which is always good.
Yeah.
So I know you just got laid off from your job.
Yeah.
And as you said, you've ended up here before. I'm just curious, have you always had this attitude about being in this place before, or do you feel like something's clicked or changed for you?
Actually, no. It's first of all, I'm not really big on work. I mean, in the sense of having to report somewhere. I love to work on my own,
right?
You know, which is, I'm sure, not an uncommon reaction to work. But
right.
I like a challenge, really, really big time.
Right.
Like, if you hand me something that seems impossible, I'm all for it.
Right.
I don't really like just the mundane... Let's go to work, survive, save money, you know, go to the movies.
Right.
Yeah, I get bored with that.
Right.
I'd much rather try to figure out how to make one grain of rice last for a week.
So tell me about, like, groceries. How has that changed around, you know, right now? Because you really are piecing small things together while you look for a job.
Right. I mean, you know, I bought 40 pounds of rice. In all seriousness, two trips on foot, you know, to the grocery store.
Yeah.
It's on sale. But that could last like an eternity for me.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm a bowl of rice gal. I'm not a six bowl of rice gal.
Right.
You know, I used to eat lean cuisines. I thought it was one of the five food groups. So now I don't have to bother with that. And I always felt like I needed to save those black plastic things, and they were creating sort of havoc in my basement. Oh, I'm making bird baths out of them now. So I just eat differently, which is, it's just like anything else. It's healthier than the way I was living. 'Cause I would stop and get junk food or, I mean, I never went as low as McDonald's, but, I would get one of those chickens that were pre-made at Wegmans. So Danny's not getting as much of my money, which is fine. And, I'm just eating better, more thoughtful. I think one of the things that I enjoy the most is I walk more. So I walk to the store, I get what I can use for a day or two. I don't do the weekly, $200 shopping spree. I live alone for for good reason. It's kind of a public service, but the idea of buying so much more than I need, it just doesn't happen now because I'm not going to carry it. I'm 55. I'm old. I'm tired.
You're not old and tired,
No, I'm not, but I try to say that. People
jeez,
don't pick on you then.
did you get your AARP card yet?
Oh, I've got several.
Oh,
I'm
there
going
we
to
go.
wait to get the whole set.
Good. Just curious, the whole piece about living alone. Let me go off on a tangent
Oh,
here.
here we go.
No,
Unprepared as I
I
am.
mean the piece that so when I lived in New York City, they had this awesome vegetarian restaurant. And they had this table. It was like the community table. And you sat there if you were coming to eat by yourself or and I would think that just part of almost sharing kind of what you've learned about living this way might lend itself to wanting to do that with other people. Like, has it brought up the idea of wanting to have more potlucks or I'm just curious.
It
Or do you
depends
really
on
like
the time of,
eating by yourself and all that?
Well, I tend to have a 5 mile personal space, so, my doormat says leave. I'm not really convinced that potlucks are the way to go for me. However, I do tend to cook more, from scratch or whatever you want to say. So if people are giving me rides, places and stuff, reciprocity calls for something. So, yeah, and I do have friends. I mean, I've got four that I've handpicked, and so they come for dinner.
But I know you well enough to know that it's not like you're a social outcast, you goofus.
No, but it's a good claim to fame. I have been on occasion, let's face it.
The
I had my
social
moments.
outcast.
A little much to take.
So what has this done with things like healthcare, for instance? Because I'm
Well,
assuming you don't have health insurance anymore.
no, actually, I probably it would be Medicaid eligible at this point. Sometimes working is actually less profitable than not working because you're eligible for more services, but. At the moment, I haven't looked into that, but I do use St. Joseph's, clinic,
Which
and
is a free
it's a
clinic in
free
town.
clinic. Yep, and they're great. The people are really they're the friendliest medical people I've ever run into. They want to be there, so I mean, I guess they're probably interested in golf, but not the same way that my doctors seem to be. I'll squeeze you in if you're, after the 18th hole or something. So.
So that's been helpful
Yeah,
in
and
town.
also they've actually given me some of the best advice in terms of, medications that I was taking before that they don't think I need, so.
You describe yourself once as have you don't like saying you have. Say it again.
Well, people always say I suffer from bipolar illness or, I suffer from depression or, well, I don't really think it's suffering. I think it provides a lot of stories, I mean, the depression is definitely difficult, but even at the other side of it is fascinating. I mean, where my brain goes is it's dangerous sometimes, but it's pretty fascinating. And if you write everything down, it's very amusing later.
When your mind is
Yes,
lucid,
exactly.
doing well,
It's
yeah.
not good to be in relationships, though.
It makes it a little complicated
I'm kind of like
sometimes.
an amusement park, fun to visit, you better go home at night.
Also know that, you are in a good place with medications and help right now and everything. And And you aren't choosing to go back to drinking, which at one point of your life was the option, the way to be able to deal with things. And I can't, I mean, I think what's so interesting about how you're approaching all of this is it's almost like you've taken it about face and not only have accepted what you're in, but are kind of embracing it. Like, what are the gifts I can learn from this? Or approach it in a way that isn't just, all right, here's my fate, and I don't have a job again. But you're doing it with a kind of positive spirit to you. I mean, you really, it's not just accepting it, it's embracing it in a way, Allison, that I find really interesting and kind of a great lesson for everybody to learn, kind of about, when you have to simplify your life. To what are the core essentials? How do you do it in a way that you don't feel like you're like somebody's taking something away from you all the time?
Well, because it is a decision, I could probably do something different. I could just work two jobs. I mean, I probably could find two Getty Station cashier jobs and do that. I don't choose to do that because that actually is more deprivation for me than what I'm doing. I would choose to, eliminate some of my needs, quote unquote, which aren't needs. I mean, I see an awful lot of things in my life when I'm working and at some, fairly respectable job that I don't need. And, I don't give it up
Like what?
because, oh, television, which I loathe, but, it costs a lot. Internet, landline phones, which are kind of dinosaur-like now anyway, but, like I said, if you really are starved for telemarketer conversation, go to a furniture store, if you really want that kind of harassment. That's about all I could see a landline for. But, going to movies, all of that sort of thing, you can find so many ways to entertain yourself or keep yourself interested. And walking is, it's so cool walking. I mean, and if, I don't go walking like when I have a car. I've never understood that. Let's take a walk. Well, where are we going? Nowhere. We're just taking a walk. I don't get that. So if I have a reason to walk, I love it. And I have a lot of reason to walk now. So,
Because it cuts back on
well,
transportation.
my truck is, it's an 86 and it kind of
Works
likes way more
occasionally.
gas than I, yeah, in the winter it's not real keen on. It's kind of a Florida truck.
As we live in New York,
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it's the useful truck for 5 months out of
Yeah,
the year.
exactly. Yeah, it hauls things occasionally, but.
So I guess my question is, inevitably, I know you are going to have to really figure out the job thing somewhere
I would
along the
hope
line.
eventually.
How do you hold on to these pieces that you have enjoyed and got you in touch with? All right, what are the essentials that actually can give me joy in life? When you have to go back to working the same amount that, in order to be able to pay your mortgage and we haven't even talked about your RG&E bill. I know you don't you have a pot-bellied stove or something
Well,
they
it doesn't
call
have a pot belly. I resent that.
it?
It's just a regular old stove. No,
It's
it's
not a fat
damn
stove.
it. It's a pellet stove, so it requires electricity, but it's still way more economical than feeding the RG&E. So, yeah, no, I really that sort of thing I love because the corporate world is I don't want to nourish it any more than I already have. It's getting enough sustainment from the rest of the world. So, if I can get around that, I mean, I like candles, so. I'm a one bulb at a time person. If I need a bulb, I'll be in the room with the bulb, but most of the time I'm in the dark. Most people wouldn't think I was home, which works again for that drop-in stuff. No,
The
I'm
drop-in
not
stuff.
home.
Leave me alone.
But, I don't know. It's just, I keep the temperature way down. I actually would keep it lower, except I have a dog who has short hair, so I have to keep it above 50 a little bit. So she's shivering on the couch. But my usage is way down. And the thing is with keeping this stuff when I'm working, I don't necessarily change a whole lot when I'm working. I mean, I still believe in all of this stuff. It's the way I can do green, I it helps me to feel like at least I'm part of the solution rather than just bitching about the problem. So, And my dad was out of work from the time he was 52, which coincidentally is when I lost my really, my high paying, I thought I was going to work at it the rest of my life job.
Right. That's true.
So, I've kind of fallen in his footsteps in both positive and negative directions. So, he used one napkin for 4 days because he used a corner of it.
Right.
And, he was just that way. I
Right.
mean, he was just very, very thrifty,
Right.
and I used to mock it, but now I really appreciate it,
Well, thrifty has such a negative connotation to
Yeah,
it. I
that
mean,
isn't
we're
even the
so
right
into
word.
excess,
Yeah.
that we don't, and everything's throwaway.
Right,
I mean,
right.
in some ways, what you're doing is what people did during the Depression, is
Right.
what people have always done when they needed to figure something out. I read this article about this family that lives on $35,000 a year on purpose so that they have a lot of time with their kids.
Right.
And everything from, they wrote this book and article about how they grocery shop. They grocery shop once a month. They both go with walkie-talkies to the grocery store and they tell each other what the best deal is in what aisle, and they go through and they have a big vegetable garden and they buy everything for the month and they work their way through it. But they do it in a way that costs so much less money. And they are so, they cut all the coupons, they do all of it. But in reality, they have a lot more time with their family than people who are making double the amount of money
Do you think
that they
maybe they'd
do.
mind another live-in?
I don't know. You would do well with them. I
Actually,
mean,
it's.
it does make you realize how much all the pieces that we say are time saving actually in reality aren't as much time saving as our mental focus is on being able to use things and throw them away.
Well, and also the seduction of commercial television will get you every time.
Right.
Think you need these things, and
Right.
I can go down an aisle, and I've been in marketing for years, and I can see a new gadget, and they'll have marketed it in such a way that I think I have to have it. I
Right.
can't leave the store without it,
Right.
and I'll buy the damn thing. And I've been in marketing; I
Right.
know what they're doing,
Right.
and it goes home and sits in a drawer or whatever, and never gets
Right.
used. So,
So, and we all think that marketing doesn't really affect us. I mean, I would like to think it doesn't affect me, but I'm on this 6 years no new clothes thing because I said to the congregation that I wouldn't buy any new clothes for 6 years because I'm trying to save all the money, as much of it as I can, so that we can buy a green roof for our house. But then I find it's really, really, really hard in order to not get sucked in by my friend's new shirt, or, I'm at the mall and they'll have, or not at the mall, but at the grocery store and they'll have 100 great outfits for under $50, and I all of a sudden get convinced I need something that I don't really need.
what
It's
are
a
you finding at the grocery
want.
store to wear? That's what I'm curious
No,
about.
no. Like on, one of those People magazines or something. They'll give you, here's what you should be wearing this year.
Oh,
And I'm a sucker for that kind of
Well,
stuff.
as you
But
can
it,
see, I'm currently up to date with everything.
yeah.
These boots are 15 years old and serve me well.
No, you know what I'm saying? I guess I
Yeah.
it's you can, whatever your interest is, you can be seduced into thinking you need something
Oh, power tools.
by,
Yeah, I'd have a whole
yeah, see?
garage. Well, I do
Right.
have a whole garage full, so I don't need another garage full.
Right, right.
And my argument is, well, they allow me to save money because I build things. Well, that's absolutely not true, and it's extremely expensive to build things because there's only so many pallets in the world
That's
that you
right.
can reshape.
That you can take apart and turn into something else. Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. To me, when I think about your creative poverty, it would work completely contrary to what it is that you're trying to do if you had a television. Because everything that you're doing is cutting back, not using things, and the television is telling you what you have to have, as if it's a not a want but a need.
Well,
And
yeah. The only thing that a
also
television
that
could
it
do, though,
would be
is.
hard to be able to be around it when it's kind of reminding you of,
What I'm not.
yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I think for all of us, I think that's one of the lures of it for people is that I firmly believe that so many Americans still think that there hasn't been a rebellion against the very wealthy in this country that have a majority of the wealth, own a majority of the wealth, because we keep thinking we can actually get there ourselves.
Yeah, we think there's a lottery somewhere we're going to win.
Yeah.
Like, I Want to Be a Millionaire is a show, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's sending them out there.
So we don't rebel against it because we have this secret admiration of it, I think. And then, you know, we convince ourselves that that's more important than actually the things you're getting down to are saying to be able to read a book, to have time, to be able to, you know, be creative in my life.
Mm-hmm.
About, I mean, I'm guessing, and I know this for a fact, that you're drawing more than you ever have before.
Right.
You know, you're getting almost meditative time to be able to figure out, all right, what's most important here.
Mm-hmm.
Even in your walking,
right.
Your forced walking,
right.
In some ways.
Right. It's certainly stimulating to walk. I notice things I never noticed on Winton Road that I drive up and down every day when I have a car.
Right.
You know, there's just nooks and crannies you miss or
right.
You're going to hit somebody.
Right.
So, you know, you're paying attention to different things on a slower, more, it's just a nicer pace to see the world.
Right.
And I don't mind at all. I mean, it's increasing my health. You know, I mean, I have heart issues and there couldn't be anything better than walking. And,
right.
You know, yeah, so what's television? I mean, television to me is like, it's the lazy man's answer to living. I mean, it's like, it sucks the life out of you. I hate it.
I know you do.
I really do.
I hate it. If you had to take out of this experience at the end, what are the essential key elements you feel like you've learned?
Gratitude, humility, attitude is everything for this. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I could easily become mired in depression and despair and, oh, no, I'm 55. How am I going to find a job? And I'm just choosing not to do that. It's a familiar position. I don't need to get in it again. You know, I'm just convinced that if I stay focused on positive and, you know, the universe has got it all there. I just have to remember to go and attach myself to that rather than deprivation.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's reminding me that we, Scott and I were just talking last week about so much of life is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a choice.
Right.
What you pay attention to.
Absolutely.
You can pay attention to what you don't have, or you can pay attention to what you do have and live more fully into that rather than living in that place of scarcity all the time.
Right.
And you are making a choice. I mean, you are in a place of what most people would think of as scarcity, but you're making a choice not to embrace that piece.
I see more abundance in my life now than I did before.
That's cool, right.
And, you know, I think it's attitude, because obviously the material goods are not the same, but
right.
I have more time, obviously, not working.
Right.
It's nice, a little benefit. I have a greater appreciation for friendships. I spend more time with people.
Yeah.
You know, and my physical health, all that other stuff that I've already said. But
even though you act like the happy curmudgeon.
I am a happy curmudgeon with occasional visitors. I seek out, you know, social things. I don't like it coming to my house.
Right.
It's just a little risky.
So humility, gratitude, and paying attention.
Paying attention, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite book was a book by former priest, I can't remember his name, but it was called Awareness. It was the most instructive book I ever read, very short book. And he just talks about how if you're aware of what's going on, like the things that we perceive as reality, like you thank somebody, you know, or you say, God, I like your outfit, and the person says, thank you. It's like, what is that? What are we getting in contact with?
Right.
Or, God, you have a beautiful country here. Well, it's not my country. And what makes it a country? We have this imaginary line drawn through this. I mean, it's all goofy. So everything that we really perceive as reality isn't anyway. So before I get too metaphysical.
Right.
But it's true. Like, what's poverty? Does it affect me? I mean, what's going on? Am I okay right now? I'm okay.
Right.
You know, so if I imagine myself okay, I am okay.
Right.
The minute I start thinking I'm not,
right.
I'm not. Because it's mind.
Right.
I mean, that's the zen of it, but... It's true.
Well, and it's also saying you're okay. I'm okay for who I am. I'm not placing myself next to somebody else that would say I'm not okay.
Right.
Because that's also destructive. And it's also not internally a great process to have. It should be, all of life should be judged on what's okay for you.
Right.
Not what's okay for, you know, your neighbor.
Again, television.
Yeah.
You just don't think about it.
Well,
the other thing is I play this game that I call the amnesia game, which is if some event has happened that, you know, we would normally label either catastrophic or horrible, like a relationship ends, which might actually be good, but you think it's bad. You know, I do this thing called the amnesia game, which is I pretend I have amnesia. I don't remember that that event just happened. So how am I? Well, I'm okay because I didn't have the event. As far as I know, I didn't have an event. So it really says to me how much it's what I think about.
Right.
You know, if I think it's, I don't care what it is, you know. So this is, to me,
it's what you
a great time.
On.
You know,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Perseverating, right. There's a good word.
Yeah.
First time I had that tossed at me, I thought it was a new diagnosis.
Shut up. It's true, though. I mean, I think so much of what you're able to do right now is really pay attention to what brings you joy.
Right.
What you are at your most base level makes you happy.
Right.
In an odd way, and it's strange to me that that happens because you don't have a job right now. I mean, for most people, it's the flip. You know, you go into panic mode. You go into anxiety.
That may come.
Yeah,
you know, currently, I paid my bills up front for a few months, so I have some breathing room, and I hope to pursue something that's more like me than the Getty Station. You know, not that there's anything wrong with it. I have a lot of Getty Station employee friends, but I would just like to do something more in line with what I think I was, you know, the talents and gifts I was given.
Right.
So that's an honest living for me.
Right.
You know.
Which is what may or may not pull you out of having to live in creative poverty, but it doesn't sound to me like that matters much.
No.
It matters more that you have your kind of values in alignment with what it is that you're doing to make money.
Well, once you've lived in a used car lot, you know, everything's kind of up from there. So
shut up. You did not live in a used car
I
lot.
I did in Phoenix, Arizona.
Are you serious?
Very hot in the day, but cool at night.
What'd you do?
I mean, what I do? I didn't do anything. I drank.
This is when you were drinking.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So you just would hang out in a car at night? They left them all unlocked?
Used car lot. This car was from the 20s. I don't know. It's weird. It had like horsehair inside. Ooh, smelly. Ooh, bad. It was a relic.
So nobody else was interested in sharing the car with you either.
Right. Oddly enough, I lived in an abandoned motel in the same city.
Yeah.
And I did end up sharing because, you know, no locks. And actually, a mentally challenged woman and a 55-year-old gay man made their way in one night, and that was an interesting evening.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, that's the deal, you know. If you're going to work, how many good stories do you get out of a day?
Right.
You know, you get a lot of good stories when you're doing different stuff, you know, when you're living non-traditionally, whether you choose it or not. And as you know, I mean, I've done a lot of different careers, and when I lost my big job, you know, I went into truck driving for a while, and I mean, I paint, I do whatever, you know. I mean, I'll make it. I know that.
Right.
So the big thing is not to buy into what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know.
Right. That's a great way of saying it.
Yeah.
Well, supposed to be doing for somebody else's life.
Well, you know, I have relatives, and they know what I'm supposed to be doing, of course. So I have to constantly battle their input.
Right.
Because I will absorb it. I will say, oh, geez, maybe they're right. You know, I'm being crazy.
Well, everybody does.
Right.
At some level.
Oh, sure. I'm not unique. I'm looking for support. And I kind of put that out there before they give me the, well, you know, are you looking for a job? I mean, have you been in the White House? Have you looked online? Have you called anybody? Have you gone to a headhunter? You know, by the time they're done, I'm in an anxiety attack. Full blown. And I'm nowhere near a job than I was before they started talking.
Right.
So, you know, there's certain people I'm just not talking to right now because I know their response.